Hello and welcome to another podcast. I'm James Sandy, and again we are hiding out in the veritable bunker that is Pi and Hi-Fi. I sense it may be a new home for the podcast, and I'm joined by Rad.
Hello.
Who's slightly poorly, but a little bit gruff, which I think is sensual, but we'll discuss that later. And Steve.
Hello.
He's a little bit high-pitched there for reasons we won't go into. We've got a fun-packed list of stuff to trawl through. And we're going to start, because we're traditionalists, we're going to start with R2 Records. From September, and we're always flexible around months, but roughly from September and a bit of August, potentially. Things we've been listening to recently. Things that have been making us dance.
Org-tember.
Yeah. I like that. I like your thinking there.
It's a month we celebrate in Pi and Vinyl.
I've seen the cards.
Yeah. So we will review Orktember's releases.
I'm not sure about the mascot you've chosen for Orktember, but anyway, let's start with your first record.
Right, pressure on me. You always pick,
I always
me
pick
first.
You're in charge.
I have gone for, it was my birthday in September, and that's how I justified this purchase. And that is the Beatles mono box set.
Wow.
Yeah, I just couldn't help myself. It's records that I probably heard more than any other artist song, so you know, I've got a pretty good indication of how they should sound, or so I thought. So I was really interested to hear the mono versions. The Beatles were big fans of mono recordings. The idea of stereo came into effect in the 60s. I think George famously said, you know, what's the point of having two speakers when you could just have one? They're making you buy more things, basically, and which was absolutely right. So the mixes were different. You need a different mix for mono and you need a different mix for stereo. So through the years, the versions we would have heard would traditionally be stereo versions. So yeah, the mono version, I thought, wow, I'm going to check that out. Plus, it'd be just nice to have the complete Beatles range in an absolute perfectionist porn style Apple box.
What was in the box? What physically was in the box?
Well, there was a box inside a box that was inside a box, and then you came to the Beatles box set.
Wow. Do you need special keys to get through each layer?
Yeah, it was like Stanley Kubrick was alive. It was like his specially designed cardboard boxes had reached the Apple factory. So you prize this thing open, similar to the scene in Pulp Fiction when the light comes out of the suitcase.
Yeah.
And you remove, no joking, the anti-damp mats in there.
It's got me really worried now mentioning Pulp Fiction when we're in a basement. I'll say no more.
If only you could see what James was wearing.
Oh, no. Back on track, how many LPs were in the box set?
Well, there were all of their studio LPs, including Magical Mystery Tour. There was no Yellow Submarine, there was no Let It Be, and there was no Abbey Road, purely because they were only recorded in stereo. But there is a brand new, never-before-released Mono Masters LP, which contains some of the tracks that were recorded in mono from the Let It Be and Abbey Road sessions, and some from Yellow Submarine as well. So you basically got everything they've ever recorded on mono. So certainly that LP has never been heard before. Yeah, so my favourite Beatles record is the White Album. So that's it. That's a good kind of tester record. Put that on, and genuinely, I heard things I'd never heard before. Because it's mono, They've clearly had to play around with the volumes of different instruments and on the different tracks. Tracks as in levels, the amount of levels on the actual record. And it was just really, really interesting. You heard kind of McCartney's voice spring out more. Gave it this really nice 3D effect.
Which is ironic, really, when you think about it, given that stereo has always been marketed as more of an all-encompassing sound.
Absolutely,
you know,
yeah.
An immersive sound, whereas mono is like the flat, you know, deadpan.
It's really made me think about stereo, and you know, and obviously how that it's like everything. Obviously, these things are invented to make money, but there were obviously boundaries with mono as well, and there's some good things that have come out of those boundaries. And yeah, I'd just say we are selling in the shop all of the records individually. I mean, it is very expensive for the box set. I mean, our dear competitors, which have the same name as a river in Egypt and a few other countries. No, that's a Nile. What am I thinking of? in South America.
He's talking about Euphrates.com, I think.
Yeah, that's the one. Tutankhamun.com, yeah.
We've all been there. The shame is clear. We've all been there. What about artwork on the box set? Was there anything particularly special?
They're exact replicas from the original releases. So it's lovely to see vinyl with the... And I have a dear friend who's also my brother, who works in the production industry of vinyl, DVD, CDs. And he said that vinyl was starting to return, or LP covers are starting to return to the outside stock flaps on an LP. This sounds really nerdy, but at the moment you stick them inward rather than put them on the outside of the box and then they're stuck down. So the Beatles, certainly the earlier Beatles LPs were just like that. So they're exact replicas, quite hard cardboard, you know, so they're not flimsy. The actual vinyl, they're all 180, really thick shellac, so they don't sort of cascade down at the bottom slightly. They're kind of thick all the way through.
And you can just eat your dinner off one.
Yeah, you could, yeah, yeah.
An expensive mistake, but you could.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're a happy bunny after getting
that. Yeah, absolutely. It's a lot of money, but my word, I've had so much enjoyment out of listening to those records again, and it's kind of made me fall back in love with the Beatles, which I've never not been in love with the Beatles, but I'm certainly listening to a lot of Beatles at the moment, which is great.
I'm still waiting on that elusive Frog Chorus 12 inch to be reissued, but you know, you can't have it all. You can't have it all.
Yeah.
Rad, let's come to you next. As I mentioned at the start, Rad is a bit poorly at the moment.
Oh, I think so. Paulie's in it. We'll get on to all.
So he's drifting in and out of the fishing forecast, I think.
I'm perfectly fine. I'm well. My voice at South Sea Fest anyway. It's not repaired. but yeah, my first record to discuss would be Tuskegee's new album, Manipulator. A lot of excitement for that record. Released a 7-inch ahead of the release of the album, and managed to pick that up. It was instantly turned on by what I heard. It was phenomenal. The 7-inch was called Feel, and it made me feel really excited for Tuskegee's new album.
So that's a new one on me. What kind of sound are we talking? Can you describe the sound? Is it a bit difficult?
Anyone that knows Tuskegee knows that he's slightly changeable, but generally, I'd say you're looking at kind of... it's garage, really. It's garage rock. Some sort of psychedelic influences. Sometimes you listen to it and you can just hear... You can hear, like, 60s rock and roll in there a little bit. But ultimately, as an artist, he's a garage rock. He's a garage rock. Mm. And this album kind of sits... I mean, like, the album previous to this one would be Sleeper, I think. And that kind of has got a much more kind of acoustic feel to it. It's a lot gentler. Whereas his earlier back catalogue would have been quite grungy, you know, quite grimy, quite rough, quite overdriven. And this album for me sits neatly in between those. You know, there's a few numbers on there that are really, really like twangy. You can hear the acoustic guitar comes out and sits at the forefront, whereas there are other tracks on there where you can just hear the use of the pog, you know, the pog 2 or like big muffs like galore, you know.
This is a genre that I often defined as dirty greenhouse music.
Dirty greenhouse music. Yeah. I'll take that. But some of the bass lines in this might break the glass in your greenhouse.
Oh, well, that's what it's there for.
But it's a great record. And, you know, Tuskegee, I think as a, you know, in terms of the formats released, it came out cassette, which I think we were lucky enough to get a few of.
Mm.
It came out on vinyl, which we got a lot of. And there was no download code, which was quite sad. But he was kind of, I think you're capped to 3 releases, aren't you? I think Steve was telling me.
Mm.
As an artist, you're only allowed to release on 3 separate formats. So he forsook the download code for the cassette. But with the vinyl, there was a limited number, an untold number of red vinyls that were released. So the one I got, you know, standard, like, Rad Luck. I got the black one, which I'm not going to complain
about.
That
could be a rare one, the black one.
Some people argue that coloured vinyl has, you know, can affect the sound quality, but...
Really? Can it?
Some people
really?
Argue yeah. that. Oh, I've never yeah. found it, but some people argue that. But anyway, I got a standard black shellac, which, you know, I didn't cry about, but then, you know, one of my colleagues, Amy, she purchased that. She was the next one out of the store team to buy it. And she got the blue and red one. So, and I think so far, out of the entire shipment we had, there was 3 reds found in our shipment, but everything else was black. So it's quite, you know, it isn't said how many there are red, and there's no indication on the front packaging as to which ones are red or which ones are black, but...
Ooh, yeah, that's quite good, isn't it?
To, to find yourself a limited and rare.
That's kind of Willy Wonka's Golden Ticket territory, that, isn't it?
It's a little like that, and you know, much like Willy Wonka's Golden Ticket, the inserts that are inside the packaging for that chocolate bar are exciting. You know, all the artwork in there is you know, standard kind of Twice a Gal stuff. It's weird and just makes you question his mental stability or how clean he was when he, you know, like in terms of substances when that stuff went to press, you know.
But I think you can rest easy that we'll get you to the factory and we'll keep you well distanced from Augustus Gloop.
Okay.
We'll do that. We can guarantee that, can't we?
Yeah.
I think we'll get there. Moving to the next record, which is one of mine, if you like. And I'm quite excited about this. It was only released yesterday, okay? So it was only released on the 22nd of September. That gives you a clue as to where we are now. But anyway, this is Leonard Cohen's new album. Leonard Cohen, who is 80. I think it was his 80th birthday. I think he released it on his 80th birthday.
Crazy.
He's released an album called Popular Problems, and this is an album that's released, I think, on vinyl 6th October, I think it comes out. So
yeah.
I'm still eagerly awaiting that. I'm going to use the Click and Collect service. I managed to get
that
in
done,
there.
Well done, James. That's great service.
I'm going to mention that because it's well worth doing. If you don't know what that is, go onto the Pine Vinyl website and find out more about it. The name gives it away, really. Click and Collect. And it's a good thing to do. Leonard Cohen's voice is amazing. His voice just gets better and better with age. He's got this real kind of rich, deep tone. He's got this real kind of, it's very difficult to describe, but he's got this real kind of richness, this real kind of sort of torch singer, lyrical songwriting projection, which is fantastic. And he sings about, I suppose on the face of it, quite ordinary things, but his reflection and his account of things is always poetic and is always deep. You know, there's always something kind of behind what he's saying. And it's a great album. I've been listening to it. It's been streamed online sort of as a preview, and obviously it's available through other means. And it's a good album. It's for him. I mean, it's not sort of, you know, he's not done a techno album or a rap album or anything like that. I think he's dabbled with those kind of things before, but it's a good album, and I think it's one of those things that grows. And it is, people say Leonard Cohen's work is like wine, you know, it improves with age, and you know, everybody kind of dabbles with it at some point in their existence. Mm. But it's one I would recommend. It also has a very nice cover, which looks it's primary colours, quite basic.
Yeah.
But there's a significant difference to Leonard Cohen on the cover, and I'll reveal what that is. He has a beard. Okay.
Oh.
So I feel left out because Steve and Rad here both have beards, okay? Myself, I'm beardless, okay? Leonard Cohen's got a beard, so, you know, maybe I need to branch out. But that's one that I've been listening to really only over the last sort of 24 hours or so, and it's got me excited, as you can probably tell. So, but I'll be looking forward to getting the vinyl, because I think the vinyl artwork is going to be...
It's going to be... Primary colours are really nice,
aren't they? Luxurious.
Yeah.
Steve, what about your second choice?
Ah, right, okay, let's have a look. God, I've got... So long, Marianne.
Oh, that's beautiful.
We began.
So tonight, Matthew, I'm going to be Leonard Cohen.
Yeah, if I get to 80,
that'd
be
amazing.
Missed
your vacation, I think.
I did. This is why this is happening. Frustrated rock star writers. So I'm really tired, actually. I'm going to go for Mazes with Wooden Aquarium. Just because they headlined our Sousy Fest stage on Saturday. Mm-hmm. They're absolutely incredible. I was lucky enough to have a promo of this album from our good friends at Fat Cat Records. And it's a bit of an earworm, to be honest. I've been playing it to death. It's quite krautrocky. It's quite pavementy. Two keywords that are around so much at the moment. But I don't know. There's parts of it, to me, that sound like Teenage Fan Club. There's a really nice sort of sunshine pop element to it as well. But yeah, the lyrics are really interesting. Mazes are sort of from Manchester or Blackpool, Manchester. There's an absolute belter of a pop gem on there called Salford. It's been sort of well documented in the press recently that they recorded in New York City with Parquet Court's producer, and how it all went wrong as soon as they sort of turned up. They suffered in the area they were in New York, sort of torrential snow. Also, they had all of their equipment stolen as soon as they arrived at this place. So it wasn't the best of starts.
No.
But I think the record, if you keep that in mind and you listen to the record, it's quite interesting, actually, that some of the kind of sort of anger going happy is on there, a touch of it at least anyway. And a lot of it was recorded in one take as well. So they played the songs as a band all the way through. Just check it out. They're sort of a classic kind of little record with great songs on that won't leave your head for quite a while. So that's Maze's Wooden Aquarium.
Mazes as in complicated things you get lost in.
That's it. That's okay. It. Yeah.
We shall Google that.
Yeah.
But other search engines are available.
Yeah.
Bing.
I just want to mention as well Perfume Genius, because his new record's great.
And Perfume Genius.
Yeah, he's his voice is so good. And his new record is a real step up, actually. Quite dark electronica infused vocals that I can't even compare his voice to anyone, really. Just really heart-rendering, soulful songs.
A bit like your own, in that rendition of the Coen classic
little bit
earlier.
Yeah, it's more of where that came from. Singing a Perfume Genius song. You wouldn't know what I would be singing if...
No.
Yeah.
But food for thought, indeed.
Yeah. So. Yeah, yeah. Just had to mention him, because it's a very strong album, in my opinion, for September.
We'll let him off with that, I think, when we're rad.
Yeah, well, just about. I think Steve's basically gone through the entire Beatles back catalogue, and he's talked about Mazes, now he's talking about Perfume Genius. So I'm going to talk about every record I bought this last year.
Yeah.
All right, get comfortable.
Yeah.
No, we'll skip to the top of my path.
Yeah, let's do that.
Skip to the top of my path. So, yeah, the second album I want to talk about for the last 6 weeks would be Shellac's new album, Dude Incredible.
That's a great title, isn't it?
Dude. Mm.
Dude Incredible.
Yeah.
Dude Incredible.
Yeah.
tell us about how incredible that is, then.
It's incredible, dude. It's really, I mean, I think we've been talking about Shellac recently with a few people. I mean, Shellac's a band really that have kind of been dear to me for quite a while. Some people call them the ATP house band, and I love ATP and ATP festivals.
Dear
to be anyway.
Dear to love,
yeah,
ATP.
Let's talk in, yeah.
Still past tense.
Now they've screwed me with Jabberwocky. No, I'm not joking.
Butlins has never been the same.
Die Hogan.
No.
But yeah. I've seen Shellac probably 3 or 4 times, lucky enough, and great, absolutely great band to watch live. And I think they're consistently brilliant every single time I've seen them. But one of the other areas into which they're consistent is with through their record releases as well. I mean, one of the things I was talking to somebody about the other day was how album, you know, from album to album, Albini has not changed the sound of that band ever. You know, they sound as good on this album as they did on the first Shellac album I ever heard, which I think the first one I heard was 1000 Hertz. You know, there's a few tracks that kind of shout out at me, one of them being Riding Bicycles. And it's just got that kind of disjointed but rhythmic kind of slow train bass line that kind of starts them off, and then eventually it just crescendos and goes mental. You know, like, so yeah, it's a really, really, really decent listen. I think I picked it up on release day, shot home, used the download code, got it on my phone, come into work the following day, and pretty much listened to Shellac the whole day. And throughout the day,
I was going to ask you, Rad, did it come in, with a CD? Or
CD, yeah.
It's
so
a CD.
I said download code, but it actually comes with a compact disc inside.
Just because Albini is well documented, he hates CDs. So, yeah.
Which is weird, because I've got 1000 Hertz on vinyl as well, and that's got a CD inside.
Yeah.
It's got nothing on it. The CD has nothing on it. I had to stare at it for a while to work out which side was which. Mm. And I got it wrong. I put it inside my MacBook and it spat it out. And I had to turn it around and put it back in the other way.
Right.
Eek.
But it's, yeah, absolutely phenomenal. I played it all day once I've got it onto the old Poddy Majiggy. And I think there was 3 separate customers all come up to me, asked me who we were listening to. And I ended up like chatting to them about Steve Albini and Shellac and, you know, yeah. So... It's a really, really, it's a really strong album. The artwork on it's awesome. I think it's got like 2 weird little spider monkeys clearly having a row. and yeah, like it's
is that what it is? I thought it was like a bear picking someone up.
I thought it was a bear.
Yeah.
Picking another bear up.
Yeah.
As you look at it a bit closer, because the monkey's head's kind of back behind it.
Ah, right.
You look at its feet. It's clearly a weird little. And in the background,
clearly.
The backdrop is like some form of South American city. So I think they're like,
yeah,
you know, rainforest monkeys that have.
Okay.
Yeah. One thing that highlights, which I think, you know, people listening don't always get about Pie and Vinyl, is that all of the folks that work in Pie and Vinyl really love, really get music, don't they? They've got this kind
Absolutely,
of
yeah.
internal groove. So, you know, you can get coffee, which we're going to talk about, great pies, great food, all those kind of things, but you also get recommendations and you get passion about music. And so I think people don't always get that walking past.
No, that's the biggest privilege, working in the shop, to be able to...
That's my favourite thing about the job, is popping something on that selfishly I've wanted to listen to and getting someone come up and ask me questions about it. And the funny thing is, over the course of the last 6 weeks, Manipulate was the other record that I've had the most conversations about off the back of listening to it in the shop. I think that, you know, again, with that, the second, I got it the day, you know, got it on release day, so the Tuesday after it came out, I put it on, and we had brand new customers in Pine Vinyl that had never been in there before, which we often get day in, day out.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, just come up to me, like, excuse me, mate, who's this? What are we listening to? And again, much like, you know, Tyson Gow with Shellac, we told you've got, like, extensive back catalogue that we have in stock at the moment, awesomely, that we can just, I can stand there and talk to them about. So, yeah, Steve's right. It's a privilege to be able to stand around and chinwag about music to people that actually want to listen. You know, I go home and my other half, she sort of nods off. You know,
that is a rich feature, I think, of the shop that can't be overexploited. I think we should,
mention
that.
You're right.
My last choice, again, this is something that came out yesterday. It only came out yesterday.
Get your pocket money yesterday?
Yeah, I did. I've cashed in my postal order.
Right.
So, you know, I'm now broke. But this is the new Alt-J record, which is called This Is All Yours.
This Is All Yours,
I think that's what the title is.
Yeah.
The vinyl edition has kind of crazy coloured splats and things on it. It's
called a colour shuffle.
I'm not quite sure what that means.
No, it means you've got a potluck chance of either getting a red, a yellow, a green or a blue, I think. It's got a download code with it, but yeah.
Is there a version which has got I think there's a multicoloured version of it as well somewhere.
That would make sense. There might be sort of a limited.
Them in somewhere.
With all the colours infused, yeah.
It's a really interesting record. Again, I've been kind of listening to it over the last couple of days. And Alt-J are a band, I think I was saying to you just before we started to record, are a band that initially I didn't really like. I didn't really warm to. I couldn't get my head around the kind of kooky cat vocal, you know,
either, yeah.
But over time, I kind of thought, yeah, actually, there's something to this. I like this. Mm. And I'd heard the single a couple of times on the radio, which is, I think, called Every Little Freckle, I think the single is. And I kind of liked it, but I kind of thought, this is bordering into what I would call ringtone jazz, okay? Because it's a bit repetitive and a bit avant-garde and a bit weird, okay? And then I kind of listened to the album a few times and I thought, actually, there's something nice about this. There's something quite calming and there's something about the album itself, the new album. There's a thread. There's a thread running through that album which suggests a kind of narrative and a story which I'm still kind of exploring. They've had a bit of a lineup change. I think it's, you know, most people have picked up on that. So their bassist, I think, left them just after the last album. And this album was recorded mainly, I think, when they were touring the first album, which I think was called An Awesome Wave, I think was the first album. It's a really interesting record, and it has weird things in it, okay? So it has a Miley Cyrus kind of element. I'm not sure she actually sings a part of the song, but there's an element of her worked into one of the tracks.
The swing naked from her...
Yeah, possibly. I'm not sure what she's doing while she's singing. But, yeah, it's an interesting track. You might think, oh, Miley Cyrus, I'm not sure that's going to work. But it kind of does.
Mm.
There's a kind of whistling a cappella effect in one of the tracks. I can't remember the name of the track. And they do that a cappella thing quite well.
Mm.
But there's a whistling, and I kind of thought, I recognise that from somewhere. And it's kind of... It's a Bowie song, and I can't work out which Bowie song it is. It's not Sound and Vision, but it's something. You know. So there's kind of hints of other people's stuff in this album. So it's a really intriguing listen, actually. So I'd recommend it on that basis. And also, the physical format, the LP... looks fantastic, you know. Mm-hmm. It looks kind of, you know, almost like a kind of Warhol painting. You know, they've got this kind of weird kind of flash of colour across the cover. And as you said, you know, there are various versions of colour vinyl available. So that's one that I'm quite getting into gradually, and it's a real contrast to the other one. It's a real contrast to Leonard Cohen.
We were on Jules Holland last week, and she and I caught the songs on there, and I always felt it really helps to see Alt-J in the flesh playing. I mean, when I first heard An Awesome Wave, I could have sworn there were a couple of black guys in there, you know, just because of the vocal, and it was all a bit confusing. It was sort of a little bit watered down Radiohead-ish, almost mixed with a bit of hip-hop. Some of the beats in there are really hip-hop influenced. But yeah, then I saw them all. I thought, oh, right, okay.
That's really interesting, because one of the things that kind of turned me to kind of liking them was seeing them a couple of times, you know, on YouTube or various other things, actually playing kind of acoustic versions of their songs. You know, so they were kind of breaking it down a little from their kind of studio productions. And it really worked. You know, the song kind of came through, and it kind of, you think, actually, there's something really interesting to this. Yeah. Whereas, you know, inevitably radio edits are a bit kind of bit heavy on the...
Another interesting fact, just to link that release with us. We were quite lucky last week. We had an exclusive listening party in the shop. And Alt J, they sent out details of a fresh download application, an app, I believe they're called.
Yes.
And using Google, they could pinpoint areas of the country and literally turn on a stream of their album. So they did that in our very shop. So if you walked into Pine Vinyl and you downloaded this app, you could hear the album.
That's
if you walked out of the shop, you could not hear the album. So maybe something for the future. I guess a lot of bands might try that.
That's quite interesting, because Radiohead themselves have been up to something similar, haven't they, with an app where they've released bits of exclusive things.
Yeah, there's a bit of a weird world they've created off the back of King of Limbs, but I don't know this. So there's a lot of rumours going around about Radiohead, and Tom York posted a picture yesterday of a white record on a turntable with no words. So I think we're going to talk about the potential releases for the rest of the year later.
But that is very exciting. And at this juncture, more excitement to explore, which is South Sea Fest.
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to do an autopsy of South Sea Fest. Should we call it that?
Let's open her up.
Yeah, let's open it up. So, Steve, explain to start with what South Sea Fest is, because it's been going a number of years now, I think.
Yeah, it's been, I don't know exactly, I'm going to guess 7 or 8.
Yeah, I think it's about that.
I think this was the 7th year, wasn't it?
Yeah, and yeah, traditionally it's a multi-venue festival held down Albert Road, featuring over 100 artists, I'd say, every year. National artists, local artists, and certainly breaking new music kind of artists. In saying that, this year they have Pulled Apart by Horses and Ed Harcourt. So yeah, it's been great. It started by a lovely lady called Josie Curtis. It's a charity based festival for the Ellen MacArthur Trust, and we've been involved for the last 3 years. So
what have you been up to when you're there? We
curate a stage. So for the last 3 years, we've taken over the Wine Vaults, and we've booked a load of bands that we love, and it's our chance to showcase our I guess personal taste, or showcase bands that we think may have a big impact in the next kind of year or so. Get them on the stage for us, and get people to enjoy them. Really mixed with our own label acts, which we've certainly done this year. So, yeah, it's been fantastic. I mean, this year it was a real joy to be involved with. It ran very, very smoothly. It's always a bit of a challenge at the Wine Vault. It's a funny-shaped venue. The realities of the day for us is lugging gear through a tiny back door, amps, guitars, whatever.
That's the glamorous side of rock and roll, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. It was really good fun. We have vinyl-only DJs playing all day throughout as well. And, yeah, we've had really great feedback from punters, and our stage was packed all day long. Honeyblood were a particular highlight. I think at that point there were probably 50 people deep outside of the venue watching through the window, which was great. And Mazes headlined. Our label acts, Ricky Fitz and the boy I used to be, they're both Sean. Big crowds for those guys. So it's good to mix these local acts with, I call them local, I hate that term.
Everyone lives locally.
Yeah, exactly. You know, good quality acts that happen to be from Portsmouth or Southsea, you know, mixing it with some of the bigger kind of acts that have had the chance to tour around the country or have money behind them. That sounds really nerdy and democratic, but yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No. So it was great. This year we coupled that with selling pies in the Wedge of Rooms, and we opened our first ever pie hole. So South Sea Fest, you get to a point, it's notorious for being able to drink all day, and that creates its pros and cons. One of the cons is at some point it's very wise to eat. And at some point you're going to have to make a decision what band not to see in order to go and get some food. So this year we're in the Wedge of Rooms, so you can go and check a band out, buy a pie, eat it and watch your band. So it worked very well for us this year. So yeah, we hope to be back again next year. And Rob, yeah, it was great.
Were you wiggling away at Sounsy Fest?
I was, yeah. I was under multiple guises.
Were you?
Yeah, I mean,
lots of different jobs.
Got there super early in the morning, as with, like the, you know.
That was your paper round, that one?
Absolutely, yeah. Delivered the newspapers. it's a long day, Sounsy Fest, but it's so rewarding in the sense that, you know, you just get to see the day evolve. And, excuse me, there goes my Sounsy Fest broken voice.
He broke it singing at the top of his voice the popular hit Save Your Love, My Darling, by Renee and Renata. Is that right?
How did you know?
Yeah, I knew it. It was a guess.
You said you didn't go.
No, sorry.
No, the truth of it is that we watch ridiculously loud bands all day. And, one of the drawbacks to watching really, really loud bands, except for, you know, your hearing being slightly damaged, is that you have to shout over the music to your friends to get them to buy you a beer or whatever else. So,
that's the way to go.
Yeah, got there super early in the morning, and then I think this year our kind of day started a little later, didn't it? Like our lineup, opened about 2 o'clock, and like Steve said, it kicked off with Vinyl Only DJs. We had DJ Def Bitto and a crew spinning some
great
wax,
name,
which was that was really, really, really enjoyable. And then our stage kicked off shortly after that. But, I did some venue hopping and got out and about around the festival to sort of absorb its vibe, and I had to shoot back and forth between our stage at the Wine Vaults and then our little operation in the Pie Hole in the Wedge Rooms. So I was lucky enough to catch a few bands in the Wedge, and then,
So in that frantic wave of activity, who did you see? What was your
highlights?
Yeah.
Would be, I think, from our stage, straight away, would be Ricky Fitz. Mostly because they showcase new material at Sassy Fest. Mm-hmm. So I was absolutely blown away by that, you know. And it's been really, really good with them because, I mean, there's no secret that I'm a massive fanboy for that band. And, you know, their EP, first EP that we released on cassette a while back, was really, really strong and really, really decent. And I've absolutely rinsed it. And I was kind of, you know, you always get, when you love something a lot, I do anyway, I get really anxious about new material because I worry that it won't be,
the dream might be shattered.
Yeah, it's a bit like the sophomore album, isn't it? You know, the second album, you're a bit like, oh my, you don't really know how to feel about it until it hits you. But yeah, hearing their new material being
this
being
is like U2, this is a U2 dilemma, isn't it? The difficult 20th album or whatever it is, you know, that kind of thing. What should we do next?
But yeah. I can personally assure you, and I'm sure anyone that watched Ricky Fitz on the day would agree that their new material is sick. It's absolutely awesome, I've still got tinnitus, you know. So yeah,
his beard is still wobbling.
At one point, and I'm not really an earplug kind of guy. I should be, but I'm not. At one point, I had to ask the bar staff if I could borrow some tissue, and I poked some tissue down my lugholes.
That must have been
because it was actually causing me some minor distress.
We must stress at this stage that other safety protection equipment is available. And that's not recommended to stick tissue paper in your ears. So.
Thank you, Dr. James.
We must stress that.
It's all right, because I dip the tissue in vodka, so it's all right, it's fine.
Oh, well, it's sterile, so we don't have to worry about
that. And then it's it.
I was stood next to a PA as well, you know, so that does have its drawbacks. But they were strong, they were brilliant. Mazes were really bloody good, and a lovely couple of chaps as well, they were really nice guys. And I watched Easy Death Rays in the Wedge as well, and, you know, I'll put it out there. I'm 31 years old. I'm no spring chicken.
Aging by the minute.
But I moshed. I got involved in some in a pit, and it was really funny actually because my.
Will you be doing that when you're 81? Do you think?
Definitely.
Good man.
But I.
Leonard Cohen is.
Yeah, he is
doing it now.
He is.
I actually took my half into the Wedge to watch DC Death Rays because I caught them. Ricky Fitz supported them on tour this year, so I saw them earlier on in the year. So this has been the third time I've seen them. And I was like, you've got to check this band out, they're really cool guys, you know, there was a Stage Invasion last time I saw them, blah 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 blah. No Stage Invasion at the Wedge, security are far too good at their job, should we say, for that. But there was a bit of a pit that was going on, and I can remember being stood like a very civilised 31-year-old like Beyonce, and just watching this band, enjoying them, and then I get this slight nudge every sort of 25 seconds or so from a young person who was absolutely loving life behind me.
A young person, did you hear that? A young person.
A younger person. Oh, he was definitely younger than me. And I think my initial response was a bit of a Victor Meldrew type situation, where my involvement in the mosh was to grab him and push him away from me. But then afterwards, I realised that there was a lot of enjoyment to be had from that. So I got well involved and dragged I saw Ed from the boys to be in the crowd as well. So me and him got involved, and there was a bit of surfing going on. And then I can remember looking over at my fiancée at the railing, and she just cast me a look as if to say, I work here, please stop doing that. So that was, I think it was one of the last bands I watched of the day, to be honest.
I think we should mention at this point that other approaches to ageing are available. I think that's quite important to say. So
there are no delusions of age here.
let's move on now, and because time is marching on. And Steve, you're going to start, I think, by talking about some of the records that we're expecting. You hinted at Radiohead stuff, but we don't know about that. But there's other things coming.
Purely rumours, so we'll leave it there. Let's not get too excited just yet. I'm going to flick through our Click and Collect, because that's fairly up-to-date and accurate.
There should be some kind of jingle for that, shouldn't there, and some kind of background noise.
There should, yeah.
But anyway,
yeah.
We'll work on that.
I'm going to run through some highlights, certainly for October. And going into November, I mean, the big one is Pink Floyd officially announcing a new album.
Yeah.
Even though technically it's not really a new album, it's sort of off cuts from The Division Bell, which was their last official album in 83, something like that.
Wasn't a lot of the material on this new album put down in
I think it was 93, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Was it 93?
Mm. Well, I think I'd heard that a lot of stuff from this new album was put down in 2005. And then put to bed and left for a while.
So it's a tribute to Richard Wright, I think.
There's a lot of debate about this, because, you know, it does have three of the four Pink Floyd cast, if you like, on the content.
Yeah.
But is it a Pink Floyd release, or is it a David Gilmour release? You know, Roger Waters hasn't been involved in this, despite the big love in for, you know, big global charities and things. But it'll be an interesting one, won't it? Because it'll be interesting to kind of get a gauge of what's on it. What I've read is it's quite ambient. It's quite
apparently so. Apparently so. It's a great front cover. I think there's been massive kind of visuals on the sides of buildings in kind of Japan and London, New York, various mega cities, South Sea, across the world. So, yeah, that's one. Aphex Twin's out. That's a big release this year. Got Goat as well, which is worth mentioning. Their second release.
Not to be confused with Gautier. It's very important, that.
Oh, yeah, that is important. Thank you, James. Subtract, their new record. Tweedy, Christopher Owens, his new record release is coming out next. I think that's on Monday, actually. I'm quite excited about that. I love Girls, and I love Girls, the band. He was formerly the lead singer of his second solo album. Got an Oasis What's the Story Morning Glory 20th anniversary set.
We all need
remastered.
To hear that again.
Yeah, we do. Barely a day goes by without hearing Wonderwall or the other one. Jamie T, Caribou, which I've heard a promo. It's an exceptional album. So
you
looking forward to
yourself.
That.
Yeah, you get that one to yourself.
Hey, well,
he does play those cards remarkably close, I find.
We've got the return of Weezer as well. How
Weezer.
Exciting, yeah.
See, this is one of these situations where I get a bit anxious.
Yeah,
you know
back to basics album. A lot of people saying it's their best one since possibly...
Since the last
Green,
one.
Yeah, since, well, when was the last one? I can't remember. But yeah, it's meant to be a fine return to form. Ice Age... Different change of direction for those guys. Veal Salway from Radiohead. So Johnny Marr, we've got Zola Jesus return. Peaking Lights, Jessie Ware. I loved her album last year, so I'm looking forward to that. We've got the Melvins, Kelly from Block Party. God, Block Party.
God, everyone loved them.
Yeah, why?
Put me down for one of them and the Oasis.
Okay, James, done. It's legally binding.
That postal order never lasted so long.
We've got Slipknot. With
that explains Rad's mask.
Yeah, Rad.
That'd be good. I'm more excited about the Melvins one personally, but the thing that excites me about the Slipknot album is that
they're good.
And I've never seen that band live.
No.
And
I've seen them live, man. It's crazy. Talking about mosh pits. Wow. Go and see Slipknot.
I should buy it. It will find its way onto my shelf.
Yeah. So that's exciting. Again, it's a brand new release from them. And it we're stocking it with limited indies only green colours. So that's exciting. Grouper, Foo Fighters, that's another big release on the 10th of November. Sonic Highways. Again, there's 8 different LP covers with 8 different cities represented. I think the album's a loose concept album on various cities. So
doing a HBO like documentary that starts. Oh, I think, on right, yeah, October.
That makes sense. Yeah,
that's 8-parter, I believe.
That's going to cost fans.
So that's
8 covers.
8 covers. Part, yeah,
probably different, 8 different cities. That's filmed, it. And, yeah.
And there will be 8 different mental people that buy those 8 different covers.
Big money.
Did I say mental? I didn't really mean that. Come and buy those 8 different covers from us, please.
Those 8 mental people will all be staff anyway.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
That's an abbreviation of fundamental.
Fundamental.
Hmm.
Fundamental. I get it right.
See what I did there? Confused him.
Yeah.
God.
That's a big long list. You got others?
Yeah, we've got Hookworms. Their second come in on November the 10th. David Bowie, Nothing Has Changed. Now, there's a couple of new songs on that
Ooh,
one.
Oh, now.
So, released on vinyl on the 17th of November.
There's a lot of Bowie single releases still coming out, isn't there? A lot of 7-inches, 4-inches.
Yeah, those. Latest is It's In The Shot, released on Monday, Knock On Wood, which is a live picture disc release. So they appear to be never-ending. So good luck whoever's collected all of those. We certainly stocked every release and will do. So, yeah. I think that will take us up to mid-November, and we'll stop there.
Indeed. Now, that mid-November takes us nicely into the depths of winter.
Yes. Okay?
And as we all know, it gets cold at winter.
Yeah.
And we need something hearty inside us, something warming, something cheery, which I think a good place to start is the Pine Vinyl menu. And the winter menu, which you're going to tell us about.
I can hear those snowflakes hitting the floor.
I can almost smell the liquor.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, I can't wait. I love it. We basically, this summer, we've slightly experimented, although it was always a plan to change to a summer menu that incorporated our sweet pies, ice creams, various sweet drinks, cold, refreshing sweet drinks, our iced teas, our fruit shakes. And now we're switching to a bespoke winter menu. Now, this will include some of the pies that weren't on the summer menu. The Deer Hunter, for example, will be back. The more kind of classic ale gravy-based pies, your minty lambs, your roast dinner pies, and a few very special pies yet to be announced. We've got some exciting pies from Pie Minister. They've upped their Christmas selection this year, and we some of the staff are lucky enough to try them, and they're fantastic. So yeah, check out our winter menu coming very soon. We will sort of post pictures on Facebook, and our menu on our website will change, and yeah, pop in. It's going to be great, and we'll be back to the good old minty mushy peas, liquor and gravy, and your selection of fantastic winter soother pie.
Rad, have you got a pie that you crave in the winter months?
I'm excited for the return of the minty lamb. I really am. I love my lamb, and I love the minty lamb from Buckwells. It's great.
Mm.
But one thing to definitely note in reference to Pie Min is that obviously they launched their new Brewdog pies over the course of the summer, and we'll be continuing to stock those until they discontinue.
They are so good.
And you know, they will discontinue them. So if you haven't tried one yet, get in. I mean, you've got the Moo Dog, which is a play on the Moo pie, and that one's. I believe that one is Punk IPA. It's Bulldog's Punk IPA with steak, your British Bureau steak. And then you've got the Chicken Hop, which is 5 a.m. Saint. So Bulldog's 5 a.m. Saint with chicken. So
in the same way, Steve, as you mentioned Pulp Fiction earlier on, and you had a strange glint in your eye when you said it, Rad then had a glint, a vague Sweeney Todd persuasion when you mentioned the pies. So you can all read about that online, and it will be settling.
I don't make the pies. It's not going to be. If there are, you can find any human pies in there.
It's worth mentioning as well, Buckwells are actually changing the shape of their pies. So they're going for a rounder, stouter pie. So look out for that as well. I love Buckwells pies. They're
rounder
great.
And stouter.
Yeah.
Those are features I look for.
I'm really hungry. Yeah.
We'll move on to drinks, because there's some exciting beverage opportunities coming up, I think.
Well, we have...
We mentioned this before, but you've got a bit more, to say.
Well, we've upped our hot drink selection, and we've always pushed our tea a bit more. We have our Pie and Vinyl tea, which is 2/3 Portsmouth tea, 1/3 Earl Grey. Made specially for us, only available from us. We have a variety of different kind of artist-related teas, one being Lucy Rose.
Is there a David Bowie tea yet?
There should be.
That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah, there should be. But yeah, now's the time to branch out into the world of coffee. And apparently, coffee and records and Bob Dylan and various artists kind of go very well together.
I've heard that. And you're going to grow a plantation on South Sea Common now?
We they're all hand-picked and roasted in San No. We're lucky enough to have a coffee expert on site. And we're extra lucky to have him here tonight.
Oh, that's a bridge too far.
It's he's from Colombia. His name is Azad.
Look, we're all couch experts, you know, armchair experts at something. You know.
The Uber barista.
I love a cup of coffee.
Uber barista.
I'm no barista, but I know a man who is, and that's the important part.
Yeah.
So we've got our own bean. Okay, we've selected our own bean based upon our rather astute taste buds, and we're very proud of it. You know, we have a gentleman that locally roasts, and he is the expert. He is the man. I mean, I think, you know, there's like a 20 years Australian coffee knowledge and experience gone into the selection of this bean, and it's got a very fruity, chocolatey, rich, dark kind of taste and aroma to it. And for the last few months, we've been kind of honing our ability to care for and produce a fine cup of coffee, and we're basically getting there.
And what's great about this is that you can come into Pie and Vinyl and drink this coffee.
Certainly
and
can.
And eat it with a vast array of pies and other things. But you can also buy it as a bean in a bag to take home.
Absolutely,
and
that,
grind
yeah.
at your pleasure.
We've actually had... I'm really excited about this for a multitude of reasons. Firstly, because I can put it in my cupboard at home and drink it as and when I want. And secondly, because, as a product, we're really proud of it. And, you know, I mean, we've had... Ula Lapin has designed the artwork for our branding. And it looks great. So I'm really, really excited to see that on a sticker bag. And I can't wait to sell the first bag out. You know, we're going to be selling it in 250-gram bags. I think initially we'll probably sell it ground for cafetiere, which means you can just take it home and press it out, press that lovely black stuff out, and it's going to be quite exciting. So
fresh sold as our coffee is never over 2 weeks old. If you see coffee bags with expiry dates on that are about a year, it's not very good coffee. Our coffee's extremely fresh, and the bags we sell will be extremely fresh. And
it gets roasted 2 days later, and it's on our doorstep 2 days after that. And we can guarantee it's been used within 10 days of that. So everything in store, everything you consume in store, is super fresh.
I'm a bit of a coffee addict, so I'm already salivating at what you've described. Mm. So I'm looking forward to that. So what was the kind of timing for that? That's coming up, or
within the next few weeks?
Yeah, it's pretty imminent. It's just literally now we're getting our packaging produced. So when that's done, we'll start selling it. We'll announce on Facebook and various socials. But from now, come in. You know, we're selling Pie and Vinyl coffee. It's in our coffee machine. Barista is just using our very special blend from now, and it's fantastic. You know, all the classic kind of barista coffees are on our menu.
A full range of coffee, you know, from your flat white right through to your mocha, you know, and not to forget your standard run of the mill Americano, your classic.
It's a dream, isn't it?
It is.
Let's move to Pie and Film, which is another kind of dimension, isn't it, of the Pie and Vinyl, Pie and Everything Empire.
Yeah, well, we've put on a film night for the last few months, and it's gone very well. And just to say, we are taking this on to the last quarter of the year.
Hmm.
So imminently, we will be announcing October, November and December's Pie and Film. I mean, the way it works, to book your seat, we invite you to basically order a pie and mash meal. That's it. No entry, it's free entry, sorry. Mm-hmm. And you come in and you enjoy your pie and you watch a music-related film or documentary. And it's gone very well so far, hasn't it, Rad?
Yeah, it's been really well received. And I think, and it's worth noting as well that, we've launched this as an event in the summer, you know.
It's a great idea. I mean, it's a really, quite a creative idea, I think.
Once the winter comes around and we get our evenings start to darken up super early and everyone's got that extra layer on to keep their skin safe, it's just going to be really, really nice to sit inside a comfortable chair with some comfortable food in a comfortable atmosphere with some comfortable people watching a really, really, really comfortable film.
And exclusively Steve, I think, is going to open the evening by playing hits of Leonard Cohen and singing along.
Yeah, there's going to be a documentary about comparisons between myself and Leonard's life.
That may be erased from the final.
And then we're going to shave his head.
Yeah. We'll look forward to that kind of zen.
Me too.
Zen balance. There's a couple of other things I think we wanted to mention just before we sign off. One is, I think, some exciting things for students.
Yes. If you're a student, then congratulations.
Hurrah!
If you're a new student, welcome to the city, and more importantly, welcome to Pie and Vinyl, because you've got everything you've ever dreamed of.
Yes, and so much more.
What a strap line that was, eh? But yeah, we were at the Freshers' Fair recently, and we've decided to launch a 10% off, not just student, but anyone affiliated to Portsmouth University discount. So this is just on food and drink. You know, make sure you bring in, I believe, either your purple...
It's a valid registration card.
It's a valid registration card.
They've got like a range of different colours.
It was explained to me, actually.
Some credentials.
So, yeah, bring those in, purple and red.
Don't show your city council badge, because you'll be thrown out the back of the rubbish, beaten all over. But anyway, so that's good. I mean, that's a good offer, isn't it? So that's a discounted...
It is, yeah. And we're also launching our Hot to Trot service as well, which has been put in place in mind with the students returning. And, you know, passing on your way back home, you're busy people, you've got to get back and do some work, but you want to eat, then pop in and we will have a selection of our four favourite pies available all the time. We call it Hot to Trot. So pop in, you'll see the board, you'll see the what flavours are available, explain what you'd like, and you can take it there and then and run off and get your head buried into a book. Whilst being nourished.
Whilst you're dressed as Trotsky, is that the...
Dostoy Trotsky.
Yeah. That's where it came from.
And given that I study, I'm alumni from the University of Portsmouth, I'll give you a more realistic spin on that. Right? Instead of burying your head in a book, you need to let go of the proverb that eating is cheating, because it really isn't. You need to line your stomach before you go out boozing, ladies and gentlemen.
That is a wonderful way to do wonderful. It than
with a pie. Feed your brain, I say.
Yes.
Feed your brain.
Health and safety rad shines again.
There he is. Other lifestyle choices are available. We'll put that in there as well, perhaps. Now, just before we go, there's a couple of things, I think, coming up in the store that we need to look out for. Have we got any kind of in-store things coming up?
Do you know what, James? It's been tough last week, because a couple of things I was very close to announcing have kind of fallen through at the last minute. I'll tell you who they were, Dry the River and Manchester Orchestra, which was a real shame. So, yeah, we're very close to announcing a couple of other bits. So watch this space. But again, we would like to get things locked in for the last quarter of the year, the October, November, December in stores. I just looking ahead to events, we've got Cassette Store Day this Saturday. So Cassette Store Day is back for a second year. We supported it last year. There's a lot more releases this year. I think cassettes is a kind of wonderful format. Mm. It's got loads of nostalgia to it. There's a lot of kind of... It's a great cheap way to... purchase a label's mixtape. There's a lot of mixtapes from small independent labels. To me, it's more independent than Record Store Day. The real small labels get a chance to be represented, and they're all kind of like £6 each. You know, it's cheap, and again, they always come with a download code. Yeah. So if you want to hear it in a poor quality format, fair enough. But you've got it on your phone and stuff. But cassette tapes, they're surprisingly good quality.
That's it. I mean, if your student loan's beginning to dwindle already, then it's certainly a nice way of getting in and sampling what we're about.
Mm. You know, and again, I never really saw them growing up too often, but it's pretty standard now to have kind of coloured tapes, and there's so many wonderful colours in the release schedule. They're really pretty little things.
I can remember as a kid buying a 5-pack of cassette tapes. Wow. Fairly cheap ones in different colours.
Oh, wow.
And watching them stream out of the cassette player, because they were too cheap. They were really, really thin.
Right.
I can't remember what brand they were, but you're right, there were a lot of coloured tapes around. You know, kind of. I still have somewhere at home some TDK, I think I'm going to mention the brand, blank cassettes for recording purpose that are still shrink-wrapped.
Yeah.
One day they'll be worth 10 to 20 pence, I think.
Yeah.
But you're right, there's a great nostalgia around the cassette.
I'll give you, give you 40p from now.
Oh, I see, the bidding...
I'll make lamps out from James.
The bidding war's already gone. So you can check them out on eBay.
And we'll be giving away pine vinyl pencils to rewind your cassette tapes with.
That is a great tie-in, I think.
An important point, Pine Hi-Fi will be represented by selling cassette tape decks on the day. So we have a large selection of cassette tape decks also. They're proving pretty popular down here. And yeah, buy some tapes, buy cassette tape, listen to the clunk and the click and the clack, and put your tape in and have some fun.
And then you can source yourself a Sony Walkman, and you can buy yourself a record, and you can make bootleg wax to tape playlists.
Somehow,
throw your iPod in the bin on the way home.
Somehow, we're taking ourselves light years forward by going backwards.
Yeah,
which aptly describes, I think, what Pine Final's about.
Absolutely,
in some ways.
Absolutely,
indeed. Well, that's about it, I think, for this podcast. I think we're done and dusted. We've hopefully educated you. So if you want more information about all the kind of weird and wonderful things that are going on at Pie and Vinyl, you can go to the website, which is pieandvinyl.co.uk. Thanks very much to both Steve.
Thank you.
And to Rad.
Thank you.
And now we will whisk off into the darkness of the beginning winter night.
On our horses.
Goodbye. Thank you.